You know, when it comes to Mother's Day and Father's Day, we always spend more emphasis on Mother's Day, figuring out who is the oldest mother, who has the most kids or grandkids, and whether all the moms are going to get little flowers and all that stuff. But what happens when it comes to Father's Day? On Father's Day, we come and it's lay the smack down on dads. Because here's the point. Dads, you have the most vital role in the home. And it sets the tone for the rest of the family. And unfortunately, in our culture in America today, having a mother and a father at home is very rare. Sad, but very rare. And so, let me give you this poem set to the tune of Mary Had a Little Lamb. It says this. Someone wrote, "Daddy had a little boy. His soul was white as snow. He never went to Sunday school because Daddy wouldn't go. He never heard the word of God that thrills the childish mind. While other children went to class, this child was left behind. As the child grew from babe to youth, Dad saw to his dismay, a soul that once was snowy white became a dingy gray. Realizing that his son was lost, Dad tried to win him back. But now that soul that once was white had turned an ugly black. Dad even tried to start it back to church and Bible study too. And he begged the preacher, 'Isn't there a thing you can do?' And the preacher tried and failed and said, 'We're just too far behind. I tried to tell you years ago, but you'd pay me no mind.' And so another soul was lost that once was white as snow. Sunday school might have helped, but Daddy wouldn't go. We need good godly character. We need good godly conduct. And we need good, strong, godly convictions in our home today. And more importantly, we need men, godly men, to stand up and be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. It's vitally important to be pleasing to the Father. Fatherhood is an awesome concept. But for some this morning, there's nothing abstract about being a dad. It's a matter of everyday life, of saying and doing the right things, because your kids are always watching you. And so a fable was told once about a man traveling. Three men were traveling across the desert, and they encountered an old prospector who told them a few miles ahead was a dry creek bed. And he said that they should gather as many rocks as they could handle at the bottom before they left. And they said when they had gone, they would be both glad and sorry. And so as the men found the creek bed, they just grabbed one stone and kept their way. And in the morning, they discovered that the stones had turned into diamonds. And so the words of the prospector came back to them where he said that you will be both glad and sorry. And they were glad for what they had picked up, but they sure were sorry that they had not taken the time to gather more. And so this could picture our life. In the Christian life, it costs us energy, it costs us time, it costs us discipline to mature spiritually. But in hindsight, when we get there and see all the diamonds that we have, I'm sure that we're going to be sorry that we didn't invest more. Often when children grow up and you say, what do you want to be when you get older? And I remember back when I was in school, I think times have changed, but kids wanted to be firemen and cops. And what did you want to be when you grew up? You know? And so you ask that question. Today, some of them just want to be gamers and play video games and get paid for it and all different kinds of things and so forth. But as you grow up and as you get older, things change. And what you want to be changes. But all the time that our children are growing up, they're constantly watching what the parents do. And that's vital. Rodney Adkins, a country singer, he sang this song, "Watching You." And it says, as he starts off, "Driving through town with just my boy and me, with a happy meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have his toy until his nuggets were gone. A green traffic light turned straight to red, and I hit my brakes and mumbled something under my breath. and his fries went a-flying, and his orange drink covered his lap. And then he said, and my four-year-old said a four-letter word, and it started with something, and I got concerned. And so I said, son, where'd you learn to talk like that? And the chorus says, well, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you. You know, that's why we sing songs today. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Why? Because your Father up above is looking down in love. And we ought to be careful of what we see and hear and do, because we have little ones that are watching us as well. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 19, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. If you have children that have grown up, you know that they have just turned out to be just like mom or dad. What the Son sees the Father do, the Son will do in like manner. Your children are like your mother or your father. And so when they do wrong, they're probably like the other spouse. And when they do good and they're obedient, they're probably like you, and you take the credit for it, like most of us do. But the idea is that they are always watching. They are always watching. Ron Kirschman, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please?
Because we need to have our young children come to you, Lord, because you are the only way. You're the only way that this world is going to come back to what it should be.
That's right.
We just ask you for everything, and we just come to you with some Jesus'
name. Amen. Thank you. Well, let me give you six specific things that please God the Father this morning. Because here's the idea. As parents, these are the things that we want our children to do with us. And so these would be things that God the Father would be well pleased. And if we do those things, as Ronnie prayed, I think we'd bring this country back a lot closer to being obedient to the Lord and having His blessings on it than His cursings. Number one, attention. God wants our attention. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. God doesn't want us concerned with the things of the world, things that distract our attention from serving Him. God the Father loves our attention. We should take steps to daily and give Him undistracted devotion, because that literally pleases the Father. I heard an illustration of a child one time that come to the father and he said, Dad, how much do you make per hour? And the dad said, oh, you don't have to worry about money, son. I make plenty enough money that mom doesn't work, and I'll provide everything that you need. Well, Dad, how much money do you make per hour? And he said, well, you don't need to worry about money, son. I've got it all covered. I take care of the bills. I take care of the house. I take care of you and mom and all the kids, and everything you need is provided for. You don't need to worry about money. And so the child said, well, Dad, just tell me how much you make per hour. And he said, well, you know, I make $30 an hour. And he said, $30 an hour? And the son's counting on his fingers. And he's like, yeah, that's a lot of money, I know. And so his dad said, okay, now go play. And he went back to doing his job. And the son came back a few minutes later with his piggy bank. And he handed it to his dad. He said, here, Dad. And he said, well, what's this for? And the child opened up the bottom and all the pennies come out and so forth. And he said, is that enough? And his dad said, enough for what? And he said, enough to buy 5 minutes of your time? God wants our attention. What is distracting us from pleasing Him? Number two, obedience. This is a big one. Don't you want your children to be obedient? Miserable seeds of Satan. But yes. But even so, God the Father wants us obedient as well. That's important to him. That's what pleases him. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John 8:29, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." If we're going to exemplify Jesus Christ, then we need to be doing things that please the Father. And that only comes by obedience. We need to be obedient. That's a remarkable thing, doing things that please God. Matter of fact, John said in 1 John 3:22, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." I wonder if sometimes we don't receive stuff because we're not obedient. Our prayers are hindered because of our lack of obedience. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." How much do you love God? Look at a rebellious child. They don't want to obey their parents, but that too holds weight in our Christian lives. Rebellious children don't obey God the Father either. He would love to have our obedience. That's what's pleasing to him. And so, number three, we talked about God wants our attention, he wants our obedience, and he also wants our holiness. This is a big one. Unfortunately, when you talk about holiness or being holy, that's almost like a four-letter word to some people. And some people don't think that they can attain that. Listen, let me correct Bible misconceptions. We talk about this a lot, and we kind of, it's almost a conundrum, but it's not. Because the Bible says that we're to be holy. I mean, Peter says in 1 Peter 1:15, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct." Here's the idea. Paul said, "Man, the things that I know I should do, I don't do those things. And the things that I know I shouldn't do, those are the things that I do." And so, yes, I understand. We're all sinners, and we will sin every day. But here's the idea. God's called us to holiness. And so just because we think that we can't attain that doesn't mean we shouldn't strive to attain that. Because here's the idea. Once Jesus Christ saved you, he placed his Holy Spirit within you. And do you know you have the divine power of God within you? That's an amazing thing. But that's also the struggle that we have, because Paul says in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, the flesh rages war with the Spirit. The one is contrary to the other, so that you don't do the things that you know you should. And so the Spirit of God wants to be obedient to God the Father. But our flesh gets in the way. But here's the idea. If you get out of your flesh and let God have control, and that's what Ephesians 5:18 is talking about, the filling of the Spirit, it's not getting more of him, it's allowing him to have full control of you. And that's what it means. So when God talks about holiness, don't think of that as a negative, nasty term. It's something that God desires, and it's something that is going to be pleasing to him. But unfortunately, it's not as used as much as what it should be in our pulpits today. Holiness is about our lifestyle. You know, if Jesus Christ saved you, do you know you're an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven? And guess what? Let your life here reflect your position up there. Holiness is our lifestyle. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more as you receive from us how you ought to walk and please God." He also said in Colossians 1:10, "that you may walk worthy of the Lord." We are to walk worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ who saved us, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. When we're holy, we're obedient to God's word and we're pleasing him. When we're unholy, we're disobedient and rebellious. Plain and simple. Ephesians 6, talks about the armor of God. We're told to, I think five times, Paul makes it very adamant, five times to put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in God's might. Put on the whole armor of God. Take up the armor. And one of those armor pieces is the breastplate of righteousness. And let me tell you, you know what that breastplate of righteousness is? It's not Christ's righteousness, because we already have his imputed righteousness. We have that from the moment we get saved. We have Christ's righteousness. And so, but this breastplate of righteousness is to protect us from the evil influence because it is day-to-day righteous living. It's holy living. So here's the idea. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. So if you're not being obedient to God's word, you don't have the breastplate of righteousness. Number four. God wants our attention. He wants our obedience. He wants our holiness. But he also wants our faith. He wants our faith. The author of Hebrews teaches us one incredible truth about pleasing God. It's impossible to do it without faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. We have to have faith because faith pleases the Father. For he loves his children to have faith, to trust him. And that's what he wants us to do. Faith and trust have been very hard for people in America. Because of this, we respond to data, we respond to information, we respond to things that we see. And so it's hard to live by faith when we live by sight. We need to please God the Father. So how do we do that? We do that by faith. Well, how do I get faith? That's the question. Paul answers that in Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Can I tell you something? You want to increase your faith? Read the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. If you're not hearing the Word of God, you're not increasing your faith. And what does that mean? If you're not increasing your faith, how can you please God? Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You need to be daily in the Word. That's the importance of being daily in the Word. That's the importance of having devotions. That's the importance of memorizing God's Word. And it only comes by repetition. How many of you know Isaiah 28:10? There's a couple of you. Get to know that verse. Mark it down, write it down, and look it up. And that's exactly how children learn, repetition. And so God says, how am I going to teach these people? Just like a child learns, repetition. You want to increase your faith? You want to get to know God? It's by reading His Word. Reading His Word, reading His Word. You can't have enough God. I know people sometimes say, oh, I'm just so filled up today with all that God stuff. I don't think I can be filled up enough in a day with all that God stuff. I try to learn and learn and learn and meditate and memorize, and it's never enough. I realize the more I go through and the more I study and the more I learn and the more I memorize, the dumber I realize I really am. But it's God who gives the increase. It's God that gives the knowledge. We're just to be obedient. And it takes faith. Faith is necessary to please God. Number five, sacrifices. He wants our attention, our obedience, our holiness, our faith, and our sacrifices. The writer of Hebrews 13, verse 15 through 16 says, therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is pleased when we have the sacrifice of thanksgiving on our lips. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that it's 98 degrees out here, and we have a wonderful auditorium with air conditioning. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, we've got a wonderful group of people that come in here this morning to worship You. It's Father's Day, and they could have just stayed home. That's Father's Day. I'm sleeping in. Thank You, Lord, that we've got some wonderful, awesome people that when they leave here, they'll be preaching Your Son to lost people. Thank You, God, that we can come on Wednesday and just have a place to come and worship. Thank You, God, that thank You that Jesus' salvation is effective every day. Thank You, God. Thank You. The praise of thanksgiving on our lips. That's what pleases the Father. And when God sees people praising Him, not only with their lips of thanksgiving, but also doing good. This is the big one, doing good. Don't neglect to do good for one another. And folks, it starts here first and then moves outward. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Can I tell you something? You ever hear the expression, you're only as strong as your weakest link? Well, that's the point. Because if you don't do good, especially to the folks that are your church family here, you will never do good to your community. If you don't take care of the ones that are in your own church family first, you'll never reach out and take care of your community, your neighborhood, anything. If you don't take care of the folks that are in the church of God first, you'll never go out into the community and take care of those folks' needs. That's why it starts here and it works outward. We need to be loving. We need to love on one another. It's one of the important reasons I want to have next Sunday. Just a time where we can love on one another, get to know each other. Find out if there's needs. You know, sometimes you can't meet a need if you don't know there's one. Sometimes the simplest need is just to pray for someone. Visit someone who's in the hospital, in the nursing home, something. Everybody has needs and they can be met simply. Our missionary have needs just by praying for them. When's the last time you prayed for a missionary? We got like 80-some. Wow. It starts here and then works outward. Number six and final one, witnessing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, but it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Sharing your faith, that's what pleases God. Sharing Jesus with other people. Not only by verbally, but also by your lifestyle. Paul said we not only give them the gospel, but we give them ourselves. Pouring your lives into other people. When's the last time we poured our lives into people? Not just witness to them and give them words. Sometimes actions speak louder than those words. It'd be awesome to see folks sharing faith with others on a constant basis. You know, not just September 16th when we have back to church, which is a great thing, and please invite 10 people. We'll have 9 services on that day. That'd be awesome. Wouldn't that be great? I'd love to preach 9 times on Sunday. Wouldn't bother me none. That just means we have to build a big building quick. But here's the idea. We got to be obedient. And that's witnessing to other people. This world is falling apart quick. And there are more and more. 55 some odd million people die each year. How many of those are lost and will never see heaven and eternal life? And so if the obligation is up to us, what are we doing to witness to people? God might not have called you to go to the uttermost parts of Africa, but you are called to go right here in Mansfield, Ohio. And there's what, some 60,000 people here? I think we've only got, you know, less than a couple hundred in here. So we've got a lot of people to reach. It pleases the Father to do those things. You know, maybe we can't always please our earthly fathers. And maybe there are some earthly fathers who aren't easy to please. But we can all please our Heavenly Father. And that's the idea. We must all remember that truth and this one. Listen very carefully. God doesn't love us on the basis of our performance. If we please Him really good, He does not love us more. And if we rarely ever please Him, He does not love us any less. That is part of the mystery of God's love for us. But I cannot imagine being a believer without a deep desire to please my Heavenly Father. The joy of our hearts should be in pleasing God. Amen. Let me close with this last thing. As the hymnist wrote, "Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings." Happy Father's Day, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. And we just say, Lord, as it's a Father's Day, we want to thank you for all that you do. Lord, we may not understand all of your ways and all of your things and why things happen and so many things. But we know there is only one good in this universe, and that's you. Your word says that there is only one good, and that is you. God is the only one good. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your mercy. And so this Father's Day, Lord, as we fellowship with one another, I pray, God, that if there's someone here this morning during this invitation, may you draw them to them. Draw them to you by the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw them into myself. What a day. To be pleasing to you means that you have to be part of your family. And the only way to do that is to be reconciled through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. And in this invitation, we just say, God, have your way. Have your way. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.